What do you think is the biggest challenge in being a Christian? What is the hardest thing in being a Christian? Is it temptation to sin? Oh, that is the hardest thing, Sister Sherry. Every time a temptation comes, so hard. Is that the hardest thing? Obeying your parents. Is that the hardest thing, the hardest part of being a Christian? And I get it. Sometimes it's hard. What about hanging out with the wrong friends? Sister Sherry, that's the hardest thing. What is the hardest thing? Something little. The big things they seem like they're huge, but what about reading your Bible every day? Who finds that hard? Every day. Pray every day. See, we think it's the great big things, and we're watching for them. Woo, watch out for them big temptations. I got my spyglasses. I'm watching for them. And then you trip over that. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. And you'll have more. We trip over the little things. We're so aware of the dangers of sinning. But, I'll catch that later. I'm running late. I'll get that this afternoon at lunch. I'll get that before I go to bed today. And we procrastinate. Is anybody in here never, ever, ever skipped Bible reading one day? Me either. I've skipped before, not on purpose. I forgot. I've procrastinated. So, the next challenging thing is if I actually working really hard to make sure I get in that Bible every day, read something every day, what's the next hardest thing about Bible reading?
Understanding.
Retaining. Can anybody tell me what you read yesterday? Me neither. It's hard to retain. It's hard to understand. Sometimes you're reading your Bible and like, whoa, that does not make sense. That old English, what do those words mean? How does that apply to me? So sometimes you think, this is just like a waste of time. It doesn't help to me. So in the Bible, Jesus told stories a lot to help us understand things. What were they called? Parables. And a parable is when he takes something that you understand, like planting and raising crops and having cattle and sheep. He took something you understand and you put it beside something you can't understand. It's like a parallel. And you look at what you understand and you can see, and then you're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So I want to give some parallels or some parables about Bible reading that maybe would help us to learn how to understand and to retain. So I brought my friend. Brought a friend. Does anybody know what this is for? He lives outside. It is an owl. What are we using for? Over here.
Decoration.
No, somebody said it started with an S. I heard it.
Yeah.
It
is a scarecrow owl. This is my scarecrow owl my mother-in-law gave to me. And he goes in my garden every spring. First of all, I'd like to know how many of you in here, your families have gardens. Raise your hand. Your family have gardens. All right, very good. So I want to talk about, let's get some spiritual lessons from our scarecrow owl that I've brought. Now, when I grew up, Brother Steve grew up, our families grew huge gardens. In fact, he and I disliked gardening so much, we only picked it up about maybe 10 years ago. And we've been married for, help me out? 37 years. So we were married for a good 25 years before we said, you know that gardening thing, maybe we'll try it now. We just really disliked it as kids. But I think about everything that went into a garden I never understood until I had my own. And I've been canning. I used to help my mom can all the time growing up. I had one job. It was my job to sit out in the garage with the canner and a good book and watch that canner, make sure it didn't get above the wrong, too high, too low, make sure the time was right. But I never did the entire process with her. And then it was time for me to do that. I'm like, whoa, I did not know all that goes in to canning. So I've got found many blogs and I took many notes and hopefully I'm figuring it out. But I think about what's our spiritual lesson. Many of you in here have saved parents and you're seeing them put the work into it, but you don't know all the work that goes in to having a spiritual garden. But one of these days, now you start to have your own. Whoa, you got to weed every day. You got to hoe and weed every couple of days. Tie up the tomatoes. What? This is a lot of work. One of my favorite songs when I go to the garden to weed is I come to the garden alone. Because other than Brother Steve, typically my kids have never followed me to the garden. Now that they're adults, they will come over and help. But it's not necessarily a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work. It's more rewarding when it's your garden. But I think our spiritual, if you think about your spiritual life as kind of like a garden, going to be some work. And you don't realize that when you see mom and dad that go to church and raise their hand and read their Bible. And you don't think about how it's so much work. And then you start having your own and you start to realize that. So one thing that we had to do at our house that my mom did not have to do, my dad didn't have to do, was bring in dirt. We have very rocky soil. We had to bring in dirt to grow grass after our house was built. And so when we decided to garden, we brought in tons, huge dump truck loads full of dirt. It cost a lot of money to build up this garden so I could actually grow something. Because you don't grow much when there's no dirt. It's kind of hard. So I think about young people, if you've grown up in a Church of God home, you've got a lot of dirt. You've got a lot of soil to grow in. If you're new to the Church of God, maybe you're the first person to be here, or maybe your family got saved recently, you're not going to have quite as much soil. And you might have to work at it a little bit harder. Maybe you didn't have all the benefits of the Church of God kids. But you know what? I appreciate my garden more because we've had to bring in all that dirt. And sometimes I look at it and I'm like, well, I'm not sure how much longer I can keep this up, as much as I enjoy it. And then I'm like, oh, but Brother Steve spent so much money. It cost so much. It was so much work. We are going to keep gardening. And I think that so we need soil. But if you have a bunch of soil already there, spiritually speaking, from your parents, what a blessing. We don't always necessarily realize that. But there's some things that are more easily understood. They take root quicker. Why? Because you've got all that soil from your family. They have been bringing you up. They've been having Bible stories with you. Then I think about soil preparation. So every about 3 days, I take compost out and I throw it on the garden. And of course, then my dog decides, not my dog, somebody else's dog in my house decides to go get in the compost and spread it all over the yard. But nevertheless, when it's time to plant in the spring, can I just go and just throw out the seeds and hope for the best? There's the tomato seeds and there's the beet seeds. You gardeners in here, you done that? Have you? How'd work? No. So sometimes branches fall down. We live close to woods. There'll be branches in our garden. There's probably the dog's toy in our garden. There's all kinds of things. So all this debris has to be removed. Now we've got this ground that might need broken up. So Brother Steve might have to get a rototiller. We might have to get a plow and turn over this dirt. Get it ready to put the seed in there. All that compost that's been on top of the ground, rotting. It's great for the soil, so we work that in. We're having to get this ready. Now, I think about what's the spiritual lesson. In the parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God. It's our Bible. Maybe our Bible reading, our daily Bible reading. All right? And the ground is like our heart. Get our Bible out. The alarm goes off. We open up our Bible. Can we just throw this on hard, cold, unready ground of our heart? Consider. Wake up. You quickly read a verse real fast. Oh, gotta get out of here. Okay, all right. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early. Yeah, it is early. I just got out of bed. I'm really tired, but they shall not find me. And out the door you go. Tomorrow, if I asked you what you read, will you remember that? You might remember something about early. There was a scripture in there about early, and I was really tired, so yeah, it was early. You threw that on cold, unprepared heart ground, and you're surprised that it didn't take root. Or I'm surprised. We shouldn't be. Oh, wait, I haven't read my Bible. It's time to go to bed. Okay, all right, it's 5 till 12. I hurry real fast. I'll get something read before I go to sleep. So you grab your Bible, you fly up into Leviticus, which is a wonderful place not to jump up. I'll see. Neither shall he, speak unto Aaron, saying, okay, that verse don't make sense. Okay, wait a minute. Or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed. Okay, I'm getting really tired. Or he's a dwarf and he's got a blemish in his eye. He's got scurvy. Okay. All right. It's time to go to bed. Did that inspire anybody? Did that take root in your heart? Is that seed growing? No, you're right, Devin. It's not. My heart. So how, if we're throwing this seed, this good, good seed in those scriptures I read to you, I'm sure have very deep meaning and have wonderful, they have wonderful nourishment for us. But if our heart is not prepared for it, it's going to be, the birds are going to come. Whoop, whoop, whoop. They're going to come get it. And we're going to talk about what some birds are. So, just like you have to frequently hoe the garden, if the ground is soft enough, you get out there and you hand pull those weeds and that loosens the dirt. And that helps that soil to allow the nutrients to come in. We think about, we need to figure out a way to prepare our heart so the Word of God can actually sink in, take root. We can retain it. It can help us. It can grow. It can feed us later on. All right? So think about this. When your alarm goes off tomorrow morning, what is the very first thing you're going to do?
Turn it off.
Good. Turn it off. That's a great number. No. See, over here, somebody's going to snooze. Number two. What's the number two thing you're going
to
do?
Go back to sleep.
Okay, go back to sleep. This is going to be a long process. Number three.
Get out of bed.
Oh, going to get out of bed. Whew. All right. Number four.
Read or pray.
Oh, okay, good. Jacob's going to read or pray. All right. What else are we going to do?
Eat.
Shower. All right. Maybe pack your lunch. All right. Now, I'm not a morning person. I don't even like to talk very much until I've had coffee. So I probably shouldn't talk to the Lord very much, until I wake up. However, many times, to be fair, I think most of us, it's yes, hit the snooze, get out of bed. Oh dear, I am running late. Run through the shower, grab a banana or a Pop-Tart, hope for the best with lunch, and meet the bus or get in your car and go. Does that sound a little more like most of our schedules? Sleep to the last minute. The last minute. In the last minute, if you do read your Bible, how's this heart ground doing? Is it soft and pliable and ready to receive the Word of God? Or is it hard as a rock? Looks like we've had a drought for a month. It's hard. Our heart's not going to take this. But I think about if maybe we wake up in the morning, and the first thing we do, turn the alarm off, yes, because that's going to drive me nuts and probably anybody else in your house nuts. What if as soon as you turn that alarm off, you say in your mind, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Not, Lord, here's my prayer, all my thanksgiving, all my requests, all my needs. Just, good morning, Lord. You're opening up that heart a little bit. Thank you for the good night of rest, Lord. And then you get out of bed. Go to the kitchen. Thank you, Lord, for this food. You're starting a conversation with God. That's a way to prepare that heart ground for when you get your Bible out and for when you pray. What about if you're in the bathroom taking a shower and you put the Collinsworth family on and you listen to that? What is that doing to your heart? It's getting it ready to receive the word, the seed that you're going to read, that you're going to plant later on. And you hear the song, there is strength beyond measure in God's comforting word. You're like, you know what? I'm going to get something from the word today. I'm going to read the Bible. God, you know exactly what I need from this Bible today. This song is making me think about it. You're getting your heart ready. Now, whether you where you read in your day, I know some are morning people, some are afternoon people. God can help you with that. But start getting your ground ready as soon as you wake up, as soon as you can. Now, when you do read, don't just, like I did a while ago, read, whoop, and move on. Now, maybe most of us don't have time for a two-hour Bible study. I am very blessed at my house. Everybody's gone. They get their breakfast. They get their lunch. They get out the door. And I do have time for a long Bible study. But I didn't at your age. I didn't raising children. A lot of my prayers were prayed rocking babies to sleep and washing dishes. And you had to find different times for those. But when you do open your Bible, don't just throw the seed in there. You've been working to get that seed kind of, getting that ground kind of softened. But here, let's ask some questions. Because when I plant seeds, so typically what we do is we prepare the ground, and then we'll get like Brother Steve will put this string so we can have really straight rows, and then we'll get a hoe and we'll make a little valley, and then we'll put our seeds in, and then what do I do next? What do you do next? Just leave them there? You cover it up. So we've prepared our heart. We're working on preparing our heart ground. We put the seed in. We read this scripture and we put it in there. Now let's cover it up. How can we do that? Because we take a minute to think about what we've just read. All right? I'm just grabbing. This is not how you should read the Bible, by the way. It's a very terrible way just to open it and fall open because you're going to miss context. And then if you open it somewhere else and try to put them together, you might have a very interesting Bible study. So let's not do that. All right? So let's say I open my Bible and I'm thinking, I just really feel like the Lord wants me to go to Romans and I've been meditating on it and that came to my mind. And I read, I beseech you therefore. This is really important. Beseech. Begging. Please do this. See what I did? I'm stopping what I'm reading and I'm thinking about it. I'm covering up that seed because I want it to take root later. This is important. Brethren. Okay, this is talking to people that are saved. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, not like the dead sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament. This means every day God wants my whole body. He wants me. He wants my mouth. He wants my hands. He wants my eyes. He wants my thinking. Wow. Make them holy, acceptable unto God. That means he's pleased with it. Something that's acceptable to God. If you guys got me a present and you brought me liver and onions, which I think I like, and I'm hoping I like, because I have some in my freezer, and we need to learn how to like it, because it's healthy. I'd be like, bless you. No, God wants something that is acceptable, that he likes. And then the rest of the scripture says, it's your reasonable service. No, reasonable? You mean, that's not too much, God? You're not asking too much, because it seems like a lot to me, but okay. Do you see what I did there? Just a few little phrases. Thought about them. Cover it up. Cover it up. I want that word to stay in my heart. I don't want it to leave. I'm going to need that scripture one of these days. Probably tomorrow or the next day. See, when the seeds take root and grow, what do they grow? Weeds? Thorns? What do they grow?
Plants.
And then what do they grow? Vegetables or fruit. Depends on what you put in your garden. I'm going to eat those, right? We're going to have green beans and we're going to have tomatoes and green peppers. I want to be fed from my garden. I want to be fed, nourished from this word. I'm going to have temptations. I'm going to have problems. I'm going to need the strength from God to resist the devil. And if I haven't prepared my heart and allowed the seed to get in there and then covered it up by meditating, I'm going to be starving. It's going to be famine time in my heart garden, in my spiritual garden. So, Psalm 119 and 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Now, I brought my owl scarecrow. Now, if I want to hide him in here, do I just... I've hit him. You Yeah, yeah, right. Nobody, everybody can see him, right?
But what if I look around? Oh,
take time to think about where I'm going to put it. Tuck it away. I don't want the devil to find it. I want him stealing it from me. I'm going to put that out. See, thy word have I hid in my heart is going to take a little bit of time. We're going to have to think about what we read and tuck it. Think about your heart, just tucking it in there. Like maybe it's the back room. We're going to shut the door. We've got to keep that. I'm going to need it. All right. I'm going to get Mr. Owl back out here. We might need him some more. He's got to scare off our birds here in a minute. All right. So Psalm 119 and 11. Not a shallow reading. Not a quick reading. That's placing your seeds on the surface. Just hoping that they'll take root. And they won't. All right. Now, if we don't, again, prepare that heart, one thing that can work against us is the devil will say, God doesn't care. God doesn't love you. This is a waste of time. Is there even a God? How do you know? That's going to harden your ground if you let the devil do that. So we gotta shut out that voice. This is to prevent you from meditating. God doesn't care. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I'm tilling up that garden. I'm just tilling up that dirt because I want that seed to take effect. I want that seed to start growing. So this is called a scarecrow owl. A scarecrow comes from the word crow, scarers.
Wow.
Who knew? I know, isn't that amazing? I was just like blown away when I read that. In the Middle Ages, small children, it was their job to run through the garden and clap wooden blocks together. Why? To scare the crows, to scare away the birds, and shout. Now, in our garden, we have this, Mr. Owl, and we also have a long black garden snake. No, garden hose that we hope looks like a snake. And we move it every so often. One year I didn't, and the weeds grew up around it, and it just became part of the garden, and that was fun. But these are ways to hopefully scare away the birds. Why do we want to scare away the birds?
Because they're going to eat our seeds.
Yeah. And they're really good about digging up seeds. So we got to work at this. So not only do we got to prepare the ground, put the seed in, cover it, then we put out scarecrows or scarecrow owls. Because birds are coming. Jesus in the parable, he talked about fowls of the air that are coming to eat your spiritual seed. So the devil is going to do his best the whole time you're reading your Bible. Even if you've prepared your heart, he's going to send little birds, and they're in the form of thoughts like, oh, I'm running late. I'm late. I'm late for a very important day. Never mind. Today, I need that test. Oh, I haven't studied. Wonder if I got my pencils, my pens, my calculator. I wonder what's been posted on. Oh, yeah. I'm so worried about those birds. What are those birds coming in to do? They're trying to steal the seed that you're trying to plant in your heart garden. Can we stop the birds from coming? Has anybody in here figured out how to stop those thoughts? Whoa, stop. I'm not listening to them. Does that make them stop? I mean, it doesn't in my head. They keep coming. So how do we stop? How do we prevent the birds from stealing our seeds? If we can't stop them, do we put bird feeders in our garden? That's kind of funny, really. I have seeds. I don't want the birds to have them. But, oh, look, here's a house. Come, little birdie. Come live here. Makes no sense whatsoever, does it? Maybe I haven't lived long enough, but I've not seen bird feeders put in gardens. So, what spiritual lesson could we get from this? Are you putting any bird feeders spiritually? Or are you allowing them to be put in your garden that is attracting the birds, the thoughts that are taking away the word of God? Bird feeders like, I'm too busy, I'm too distracted, I'm self-reliant, I'll be okay. I forgot to read, but I'll be okay. It'll be fine. I can do this. Come to church and I'm not paying attention because I'm talking to this one, I'm talking to that one, I'm checking my phone. It's a bird feeder right in the middle of your heart garden. So the word of God's going forth And as the seed's coming through, you've got this bird feeder called not pay attention, and the bird's coming out, and he's grabbing that seed before it even get in your heart. And you get home, you're like, what was preached about? Well, I don't know. I have no idea who even preached tonight. It's because your bird feeder. You had a bird feeder that you didn't destroy. The devil's building them. You may not have built it, but he's building them. What about a time waster? Who wastes time in here? All of us. Yes? So we have to be careful. But the bird feeder of wasting time can get so big, we don't read and pray. Or we do read and pray, and we're just thinking about, you know, I was wanting to read this book and watch this video and be on social media, and the bird's going, gulp, 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 eating all the seed. And then we wonder why, when trials come and temptations come, we have no strength to fight it, because we don't have any food in our heart garden. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep. Now that word keep means guard. So you think about a guard standing there watching out for the enemy. Maybe he's got his sword or his gun or his spear or something. Guard your heart with all diligence. In addition to the children that were placed in the garden, in the Indian communities, I read that often an Indian would sit up on a platform during the day and shout at the birds. That was their way of scaring the crows. We got to guard, like the Indian men who are watching over that garden. We have got to guard this heart before, during, and after that the word is being planted. Make sure you prepare your soil. Destroy the bird feeders and put out some spiritual scarecrows. Like Mr. Owl here, what scarecrows could we put in our spiritual life to get rid of those birds or help stave off those birds? Well, Jesus Christ is like the best one. That's the biggest one, right? But I think about how that we frequently, when we first plant our garden, we will go out every couple of days and we'll look. We'll move the owl. He likes to sit on a tomato post. I say he likes it. And then we move him. You've been sitting there for a couple of days. How about you move over here so that all the birds think you're alive? And then the hose, we might move it a little bit. And I think about how perhaps you read a scripture today, but then you're like, oh, let's go look at that heart garden again. Okay, no, wait, it was Romans. Let's see if I can remember. I think it was chapter 12. What did I read today? So I'm going back to my heart garden, and I'm looking over that. This is a scarecrow. That bird is trying to steal the seed that I read this morning so that I'll never remember again. I'm going to endeavor to go back. Now, maybe you keep a prayer journal. Maybe you write it down. Maybe you have some way in your phone. Maybe you take a note. You go back. Okay, it was Romans 12:1. This is my reasonable service. Holy, acceptable to God. Holy, acceptable to God. Okay, God, I want to be pleasing to you. I just want, for me, I'll be going into a song in the next minute. I just want to please the Lord. Do you see what you're doing there? You're going back. You're looking at that seed. You're making sure there's nothing stealing it. There's no birds coming in there. And then I think about maybe other people use different scarecrows than me. Brother Chapman was like a master gardener in our family, and we would often go to him for gardening advice. Perhaps you might talk to people that you have a lot of confidence in. Brother Steve, how do you retain what you read? How do you make sure the Word of God takes root into your heart? How do you do that? You might ask somebody that's good at gardening. That can be like a scarecrow. But young people, I want you to think about, it's February, so it's not quite time, but in a couple of months, we will start preparing our garden at our house. And then, when it gets warm enough, we'll put some plants in there and some seeds in there. We will weed, we will till, we will hoe, we will tie up the tomato plants. Brother Chapman taught us to take off the little suckers on the bottom because they'll sap all the strength. So make sure that you tear off the little leaves at the bottom. Then we tie up the tomatoes some more, and then we weed some more. It's kind of like a big circle. You just keep doing it. And we water it if the rains don't come. And we might have to put some fertilizer down. And then about September, what begins?
Harvesting.
Then we pick the tomatoes, we pick the green beans, we get the food. That being said, young people, you might be preparing your ground of your heart. You might be putting a scripture in and a scripture in and a scripture in. And you think, man, I can't hardly remember what I read, and it doesn't seem like it's doing me any good. But remember, things take time to grow. And then one day, when you're in the middle of a really hard trial, or maybe somebody asks you a question, and all of a sudden that scripture, like, how did I know that? Scripture comes to your mind. Nobody's ever had that happen? I have. That is like the coolest thing. I'm like, I don't even remember that I knew that scripture, but it comes to my mind. Why? Because I prepared my ground. I planted it. I covered it up. I've been watering it. And all of a sudden it burst out and bore fruit that helped me, that helped other people. So just because it seems like maybe you're reading and praying, maybe it doesn't seem like it's taking an effect, check yourself. Check your heart, the ground of your heart. And if you're doing everything you can, say, you know what? Sister Sherry said it's going to take a minute. May, June, July, August, September. It takes about 4 months. Depends on what you're planting for it. Maturation, I think, is the word. And so the word might take 2, 3, 4 months before all of a sudden there it is. Just what you need. So this week, young people, here's your challenge from our lesson. Let's do some heart ground preparation. If you are tending to roll out of bed and grab your Bible and read it, if that works for you, come talk to me, because I want to know how you're doing it. That would not work for me. I can barely get my eyeballs open. Brother Steve and I have like a little diffuser that changes colors, and we're getting to where we kind of need a little bit of light to help us navigate, even though we know where everything's at. We're just getting old. You're just not quite awake yet. You go in the kitchen and you're like, the coffee will help me wake up. And it does. But if my Bible reading happens in that time, it's probably not going to take effect. Not because I don't care. Not because I'm not trying. I'm not ready. My heart's not ready. So sing a little song. Think about the Lord. Talk to God. So this week, I challenge you to figure out a way to till up your heart. Get that ground soft. Number one. Number two, do you have any bird feeders? You have anything in there that's stealing the word just as fast as you try to put it in there? Could be social media. Could be something you'd like to do. Could be that really good book you want to know the end of it. Could be a movie. It could be a song that you're listening to. There's bird feeders. We got to get them out, because the fowls of the air are coming to steal the word. All right? And look to establish some spiritual scarecrows, like Mr. Owl here. What kind of spiritual scarecrows could you put in your heart garden? Turn it back to Sister Jenny.
Appreciate the thought Sister Sherry brought for us this evening. You know, there's a lot in that. It's so important, definitely, to read and pray every day. And you can hear that over and over and over again. It's like the bread of your meal. You know, it's there. It's always consistent. But it is one of the hardest things to do, and I definitely agree with that. I'm one of those weirdos who I do not roll out of bed until I turn my phone Bible app. For those of you who don't know, the YouVersion Bible will read to you. So I will not get out of bed now. I will hit the snooze button because I will fall asleep in this time. But I'll at least have something rolling around in my head to get me started for the day. I cannot people until I have my conversation with my father. And that's also something I learned. But It is so good to take that time and really let yourself wake up. Because honestly, I can vouch, first thing in the morning, I do not remember hardly anything that I hear, and I do fall asleep while I'm listening to it. And I will listen to my morning devotions 3 times before I actually comprehend what I heard. But at least I get up early enough to do it. On that thought, what was it? So why was a scarecrow outstanding? Sorry. Fail. Why did the scarecrow win an award? Yeah. Oh, yes. So, let's find some award-winning scarecrows to put in your lives, to put in your hearts, to guide you through the rest of the week. On that note, we'll go ahead and stand, be dismissed.